that. Over the years, my brother Michael and I, we've talked about this fella quite often. He was not a skilled craftsman. He was just a laborer. But he was probably the best employee that the company had. Now, I didn't work for the same company that he worked for, but we ended up on a lot of the same jobs at the same time. And as I think back about him, he was quite a remarkable man. The amount of work that he was able to accomplish in a day was amazing. He never missed a day of work. He was always there, and no matter what task he was given, he always accomplished that task. If you told him to dig a ditch from here to there, he was just slowly, methodically, diligently digging that ditch, and at the end of the day, it would be done. And every day he was exactly the same. It didn't matter what the task was, he was just slowly, diligently working at it. And I think there's a lot of lessons that we could probably learn from this man. Today, during this split sermon, what I want to do, I want to talk about diligence. I want to look at it more in spiritual terms than physical terms, but there's certainly a lot of applications to both. There are three scriptures in the book of Proverbs that I want to look at, and I want to compare those scriptures a little bit to three parables that Christ gave us in Matthew chapter 25. So you may want to mark your Bible some way in the book of Proverbs and also in Matthew chapter 25, because we'll end up in those different places at different times here. Let's turn over to the book of Proverbs. We'll begin in Proverbs chapter 10. We'll look at verse 4 and 5. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, says, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." Now, I've read through the book of Proverbs throughout my life, and most of the time when I read the book of Proverbs, I've always thought about it as wisdom for daily life. And it is absolutely that. But when you begin to dig into the Proverbs, it's wisdom for our spiritual life. And so to look at these scriptures in a spiritual way is important. "He who has a slack hand becomes poor." We all know that if you're lazy and you don't go to work, you don't get a paycheck. If you don't have a paycheck, you can't have a car, you can't have a house, you can't have all of the nice things you want in life. You can't have electricity and running water. You have to find a way to pay for those things. It's absolutely true. Do we have a slack hand spiritually? If we want all of the good things God has to give us, are we diligent in our spiritual lives? When you look at the word diligent, it says the hand of the diligent makes rich. That word diligent, it means eager. You're ready to go. You're ready to get after it. I've had projects before. I've got some land, and I've started working on clearing that land. And I wake up in the morning, and I'm ready to go down there. I'm eager to get there, ready to get going. And there's been mornings when I've had other things that I've had to do first, and it just kind of eats at you a little bit because you're anxious. You're ready to get down there. Is it that way for us spiritually? Are we eager to do God's work? Are we eager to get our nose in the Bible? Are we eager to pray? Because the diligence that God is looking for is a spiritual diligence first. And so we need to think about it in that way. It says, "He who gathers in summer is a wise son, and he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." Now, we've just had the spring holy days. We're looking forward to the fall holy days. Go back to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24, 27, 34. It talks about the fall holy days. They're in September, October normally. So where are we now? We're in summer. And that is a physical time we're in right now, but we're also in summer spiritually because it's time now to be preparing for God's kingdom. It's time now to be going to work, to be storing up what God has to give us. And that's where we are. And then, of course, he who sleeps in harvest is the son who causes shame. We can prepare and we can do all these things, but when the time is ripe, if we're not out there living and setting an example, if we're not doing what God asks us to do, you can have all the knowledge in the world, and it's not worth much. You have to be doing it. You have to go and you have to reap that spiritual harvest that God is willing to give to us. Let's turn over to Matthew 25. Let's look at the first parable that Christ gives here. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. It's the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. My intention is not to dissect this parable and take all of the lessons from it. It's just to look at it in terms of diligence. Verse 1, it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish." 5 took the time during summer to prepare, to store their oil, to take what God is readily willing to give. 5 were foolish. 5 did not prepare. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Very important sentence right there in that parable. They all slept. There are times each of us, we're out there and we're working and we think we're getting it done. And little by little, we get distracted. We may have something that's really important we've got to do that day. We've got a business meeting or we've got to go to the grocery store, whatever the case might be. We get a little distracted and, well, I'll just kind of let my Bible study go today. I'll let my prayer go today. I'll get back to it tomorrow. Or I'll do it tonight. You come in that night and you're tired, you're exhausted. And little by little, it just wanes away. And if you're not careful, you let it go completely. They all slept. So it's just something that we need to keep in our mind. Verse 6, it says, "And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise," those who were prepared, "said, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.'" Those who were unprepared, they weren't ready to go in. "But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.'" Verse 10, it says, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut." Those who were ready, those who had prepared for what was coming. Verse 11 says, "Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" To watch is to be spiritually aware. To watch is to be spiritually prepared. And it's just a fair warning to all of us, because what we don't want to happen is Christ to return and Christ to look at us and say, "I'm not sure who you are. I don't know you. I don't recall talking with you. I don't recall spending time with you." Let's turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. We'll look at verse 31 through 35. I want to make a point here because it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your station in life is. We have to be prepared. The ministry can't do it for us. Someone else can't do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 31 says, Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. So the assembly brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the assembly brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, 200 lambs. All these were a burnt offering to the Lord. The consecrated things were 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep. So you can imagine this was a lot of work that was going to take place sacrificing these animals. But the priests were too few, so that they could not skin all the burnt offerings. Therefore their brethren, the Levites, helped them until the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more diligent in sanctifying themselves than the priests. It's a situation where people were more diligent. All priests are Levites, but not all Levites are priests. God expects all of us to be prepared at any given time. And it's just a lesson that we can learn from them. Verse 35, it says, Also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and with the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. Are we prepared? Are we ready for Christ's return? So that when that does happen, are we prepared to serve under Jesus Christ? Are we spiritually mature enough to be a first fruit? And it's just something that we need to think about. And in thinking about this parable in terms of diligence, are we diligently, day by day, preparing ourselves? Are we storing that oil? Are we storing those little tidbits of information, of knowledge, of understanding that God's willing to give to us? Now we'll go back to the book of Proverbs. Look at the second verse there, Proverbs chapter 12, look at verse 24. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. Says, The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. So again, we can look at it in a physical way. Those who are diligent in their work, those who are diligent in their lives, they tend to do pretty well for themselves, don't they? But the lazy, they just don't seem to ever get ahead, do they? It's always something happening because they're not diligent. They're not putting the work in. They're not able to work through something, work around something. And it's the same with us spiritually. How hard do we work at our calling? The calling that God has given to us, how hard do we work at that? How diligent are we in pursuing that calling? Let's go back over to Matthew chapter 25. Look at the second parable there. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. It says, For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. So we know this is Jesus Christ we're talking about. And in this particular parable, he's talking about talents of money. But we can take it, we can transfer it to today, and we can look at it as abilities, gifts that God gives to us. And how much are we utilizing those gifts? We know that we're waiting right now on Christ's return. Verse 16, it says, Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground, hid his Lord's money. So we see 2 different people who took the ability that they had, and they increased that. They doubled it. Now, we're not going to be asked to do something that is out of our reach. The one that was given 5, he doubled it. He had a lot of ability, one who was given to each according to their ability. So we may not all have the same ability, but God still gives us tasks. He still gives us responsibilities to work at. And are we taking our talents, our abilities, and are we growing those? When Christ returns, will He be able to look at us and say, "Oh, I see what you've accomplished here"? Verse 19, he says, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of our Lord.'" The reward for diligent effort is being allowed to rule under Jesus Christ in God's kingdom. But we have to be faithful in what God gives to us. We have to utilize those talents. Verse 22, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of our Lord." Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what's yours. So everything that you've given to me, I've still got it. I dug in the ground. I hid it. I didn't do anything with it. I didn't accomplish anything. So here's what you gave me. You can have it all back." Verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. The least you could have done is put it in the bank and drew a little interest for me." He didn't even do that. He did nothing. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what's the result? We can take the talents that God gives to us. We can utilize those talents. And we can rule in God's kingdom under Jesus Christ. Or we can take the talent that God gives to us and do nothing, and we can be cast into outer darkness. We can each come here each week. We can sit in a seat. We can make the show. Most of us can talk and give the church answers to most things. But in our mind, are we doing it? Are we diligently pursuing our calling? It's a fair question. Haggai chapter 1, right before the book of Zechariah. Look at verse 14. People had started building the temple. They had lost their zeal for it. And God's stirring them to action. Verse 14, he says, "So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people." Everybody. He wants everybody to be involved in this work. "And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God." They pursued their calling. We'll drop on down to verse 4 of chapter 2. It says, "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts." As long as we are diligently pursuing our calling, God and Christ are willing to get right in the middle of it. They're willing to roll their sleeves up with us, and they're willing to help us. And if we don't know how to do something, if we have a problem, all we have to do is go to God and say, "Hey, look, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to overcome this by myself. I need some help. They're willing to get right down the mud with us, walk through it with us, take our hands and guide us and lead us. They're right there with us. Go to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Look at verse 15. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A worker that does not need to be ashamed. What do we work at? We're talking in spiritual terms. What do we work at? Back up to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll see what Paul told Timothy. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, he says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. So work at being an example in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You can take that one verse and there's a lifetime of work right there. If you accomplish all of those things in this lifetime, it's going to be a miracle. Do it perfectly. Verse 13, he says, till I come, give attention to reading, Bible study, to exhortation, to building up, to talking to different people, to fellowshipping. Be a part of it. Know what people's issues are. Know what people's problems are. And build them up. Make it a little bit brighter. We were talking a week or two back, and I was telling some of them, I was talking with someone, and I heard them say that when people leave a conversation with you, do they feel built up or do they feel torn down? That's what we're working on, to emulate Jesus Christ in ways like that. And it's little bitty things that we can do all the time, so we're never out of work. But give attention to doctrine. That's teaching. And as some of us stand up here and we teach in this way, but as we fellowship with one another, as we talk about God's Word, do we not teach one another? We absolutely do. So we have to work at it. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Entirely, diligently pursue the things of God, that your progress may be evident to all. As you're doing what God says and you grow spiritually and you mature spiritually, it's going to be evident to everyone around you. The life that you lead, how much do you say when you don't say anything? And that's what we're striving for. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 5 through 11. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, being committed to it, working at it, add to your faith, which is a gift from God. Through the course of time, we can work and build our faith through God, but it's a gift from God that He gives to us. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things, he who doesn't work and cultivate these things, is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Have we forgotten our baptism? Have we forgotten our commitment that we've made to God? He says, therefore, verse 10, brethren, be even more diligent. So, not only be diligent, But be aware of these things and recommit yourself to them. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. If you do these things right here, you will be in God's kingdom. Jesus Christ will count you worthy to be a first fruit. In verse 11 it says, "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So, we have a decision to make. We can take the talents, the gifts, the abilities that God gives to us, and we can rule in His kingdom under Jesus Christ, or we can bury that talent and ability and not. It's not a difficult decision to make, I wouldn't think. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs and look at our third verse there. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. Says, "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." Now when you look at that word soul, it's a Hebrew nephesh. That's your mind. It's the seat of your senses, affections, emotions. So that's what that means. So that's what I was saying before. We can want these things. We can desire it. It's easy enough to want. But to be diligent enough to put the work in, to be committed enough to get the reward, it takes a lot. It says the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. So if you want to reap the rewards, you have to diligently pursue spiritual things. Go to Matthew 25. We'll look at the third and last parable there. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him." And what are nations comprised of but individual people? "And He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, 'Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" We read in Proverbs that the soul of the diligent will be made rich. So how much more wealth could you ask for than this? To live eternally with God and Christ in their kingdom, serving under them. You could not ask for anything more than that. It says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these My brethren, you did it to Me." I read that, and to me there's a beautiful humility in the righteous. Because of the things that you are doing. Because of who you are. Because of what Christ and God has accomplished in you. You're doing these things, and you may not even realize all of the good that you're doing for people. Because it's just becoming second nature to you. And that's how the righteous acts, because that's how Jesus Christ is. It's just second nature to Christ to do good for people. And as we grow and mature spiritually, it becomes our nature. You don't realize the good you're doing because, well, it's just who you are. But But there's a lot of people who benefit from a lot of things. Just one small example. Every week we come in here and there's food on the table. There's coffee that's made. There's song books on the table. The sound is set up. There's someone at the front door opening and closing the door. There's a speaking schedule. There's someone who leads songs. And it's because of the righteous acts of a lot of different people. And there's a lot of conversations that take place. And people say, how was your week this week? And you may say, oh, it wasn't that great. And somebody says something really encouraging to you. A slap on the back says, hey, it's going to be okay. Those are the righteous acts of the saints. And that's what God is looking for. But you diligently show up each and every week. You observe God's Sabbath first. You honor and respect God and Christ first. But through serving them, we begin to serve one another, do we not? And we begin to act like God and Christ. And their Holy Spirit's inside of us, motivating us and changing us. And these actions, that when we do it to the least of these, we've done it to Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those who diligently seek God. How is it that we are doing that? We seek God obviously through prayer, through Bible study, but we seek God by being here, by being a part of his family, by serving one another, by doing for one another, by fulfilling that parable that Christ talks about. And when Christ returns, that reward is going to be eternal life in God's kingdom because of diligence, because of every day, every week, you're putting the work in. And it's who you are. It becomes your character. And it's really quite a beautiful thing when you stop and think about it. Think where you started, to think where you are, and to think where you will be. I have a quote as we begin to wrap this up. I look at it fairly often. It says, the long road is the fast road. What that means, there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts to God's kingdom. It requires work, it requires effort, it requires a lot of diligence. Diligence is an earnest, conscientious drive that's in each of us, that's put in us through God's Spirit to accomplish the task that God has given us. We are diligent to avoid sin. We stay focused on the goal of God's kingdom. I've had the opportunity in my life to spend a lot of time on hiking trails. And a lot of times you're going up this really steep slope and I've passed people, and more often than not I've had people pass me. But it's just kind of an expression that you use out there, slow and steady. I've had people walk by me, never say hello, just slow and steady. And you are just diligently putting one foot in front of the other, in front of the other, and you're headed up that mountain. And eventually, you're just right there on top. Slow and steady. Brethren, let's spiritually move slow and steady, and let's diligently march into God's kingdom.